This is KPOO San Francisco. You are listening to Reality Sandwich. I'm Julie Matthews. I'm a certified nutrition consultant.
And I'm Pauline Harrell. I'm a certified massage therapist.
And I'm Martin Matthews. I'm a certified medical hypnotherapist.
Hey.
Good to be here today.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we've got all my co-hosts on today.
All of us here at Reality Sandwich.
Yeah.
How's it going, Pauline?
Martin, it's going. You know, we were talking earlier. It seems like the rain came at the proper time for the tears of the people who were really hoping for change.
Yeah.
You know, and it seemed as though most of us were caught off guard by the fact that we had rain yesterday. But then I thought about it this morning and said it was kind of like maybe tears for the planet or tears for California, this end of California.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But it did seem very... just very cleansing.
Yeah.
Actually, yes.
Well, it was cleansing, but also you need it. I think emotionally, if you didn't get cleansed, at least you, it sort of helped you go back in and reflect on all the different things that may have led up to this change, this lack of change,
mm-hmm.
and fear of change, and perhaps people need to reflect a little bit more on what's going to. Going forward, I mean, we can't, as a friend of mine says, you can't write scripts, but it's pretty well outlined.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, for me, and I was looking at a couple of the other posts that came through late yesterday from, certainly from Move On,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a lot of the other cadre of emails that I was getting over the course of the campaign, and just reminding us and letting us know that that... the change that we wanted just isn't going to happen in the way that we all were hoping.
Exactly. Maybe it's in a different way. Suddenly,
we're not all going to suddenly give up on what we were believing in, what our
right.
ideals were, and where
exactly.
we felt we needed to change and move the world. All of that energy from all those people still exists. We're just really having a huge kind of knock on the head, saying, "Okay, well, you know what? It's not going to happen with the change of the presidency right now."
No, I think it's going to take a gathering of all of our truths and, again, focusing on the truth and not, especially with this administration, not letting them get away with hiding, because it is very evident that the current administration is only concerned about those individuals that have, and they have forgotten the founding of this country because I as someone who's somewhat liberal, in my background, I still believe in an absolute separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
These people that backed George Bush don't.
And they voted.
They voted.
A lot
know.
Of them voted.
And they voted. And a lot of, I had a friend that just told me that she drove, or told my partner that she had to drive her complaining brother. He was not going to vote. He was just going to sit at home and complain about what George Bush is doing to him. And in order to stop him from complaining, she made sure she drove him to vote.
Mm.
You know, and there still are a lot of people out there that did not vote, but they're sitting at home in their couches and complaining about what they don't have and what they
right.
can't get.
Right.
And blame, but they didn't vote. But I think enough of us voted to show that there are enough Americans that really do care, you know.
It's so easy to spend time on, you know, what it is we don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
And so often we don't know what we do have.
Right, exactly.
What we do have going for us. And we'll chat a little bit more about the election towards the latter half of the show, but I do want to get to our guest.
Right, yes. So we have Margaret Ruby on today, and she is I guess we're going to talk about DNA possibilities and the human potential, and she has a whole bunch of new and exciting information on things we never knew about DNA. And
we spoke about this on a show, I don't know, a month or so ago. I was talking mm-hmm. a bit about some of the learning I've been doing with respect to DNA and how we're learning now that the DNA is not static. It's not, you know, what we're born with is not what we die with. We've all been taught or told that our DNA is, you know, is a set code, and you know you've dealt what you got, and that's the end of it. And we're learning so much more really about the nature of DNA, how impactful it is in affecting everything that shows up in our lives, not just, you know, physically in our bodies, but also in with respect to really everything that shows up in our lives outside of us as well and around us. And Margaret is the founder of Possibilities Vocational School, that does all sorts of education, embracing the idea of total wellness and self-healing, energetic medicine, and we're very fortunate to have her on the line today.
Margaret, are you with us?
I'm here.
Great. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's a delight to be on your show today.
All right.
I'm so glad to actually be speaking with you directly. Because when I was talking about this a few weeks ago, I was getting some questions that were just pretty heavy, and, you know, I'm learning so much about this. I'm fascinated about this work. It's impacted me personally, and I'm glad to have you here. And if you could share with us a little bit of a background about yourself and about possibilities.
I would be delighted to do that. I will go into that, but first of all, since we're talking about DNA, is that it's a well-known fact that your eye color, your hair color, are stored within the memory of your cells, which is called the DNA. But it's a much less known fact that our emotions, thoughts, and belief systems are also stored within the memory of our DNA, and the emotions, thoughts, and belief systems of our ancestry is handed down through the DNA, just like our eye color and hair color. So that's basically the topic I'm going to be addressing today. But earlier, you were talking about the election just a few moments ago on the show, and what I found interesting about the whole election is that many of you perhaps had seen the cover on October 25th of a Time magazine that said the God gene was discovered, and they named that gene VMAT2. Now, this is a national magazine saying that we have a God gene. The scientist, Dean Hammer, who discovered the gene, said that people that have this gene were more inclined to be spiritual, and the people that did not have this gene turned on were less inclined towards spiritualism. And I think that plays a great part in what's taking place in the world today and what we all can do, which I'll talk to in a minute, how I got into this work. But if everyone had the God gene turned on, and the God gene lives within every single person, if it was turned on, we wouldn't even have this upside-down tears over our election. We wouldn't have someone like Bin Laden coming on TV and directing the American people which way to go. Because when the God gene is turned on, it's a gene of connection. It's a gene of oneness. We know we're all one within the world, within each other, and everything that happens to one happens to the other. When the gene is turned off, we forget that, and we move into the eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a competition. Someone has to win in order for someone has to lose, in order for someone to win. And I think that we don't want to give up hope here because there's a greater plan at work. And perhaps we needed to get shaken up just a little more as a nation to see the direction that we're going in so that we would move more towards spiritualism. And the great news is that because the listeners listening to your show and both Martin and Julie, the host of the show, all have the God gene turned on or you wouldn't be interested in this program. And with your God gene turned on and you keeping your vibration high and knowing we can make a difference on the planet, you can change the vibration and help 750 other thousand people. Each person can help 750,000 people turn that gene on. So anyway, I just wanted to start with my little bit on the election. So
thank you.
Thank you.
I'll come back if you like to what I do and how I got started.
Before you do that, I just wanted to comment. I hear you keep saying, you know, a gene turned on, and I think that's a crucial piece here because most people think you have the gene or you don't have the gene, but it sounds like it's more of a matter of whether you have it turned on or turned off.
Yes. Genes are either on or off, and they're like a switch. And when they mapped the genes, one of the things that they discovered was that 99.9 of all of our genes are exactly the same. So we only have a 10% difference within the entire world of human beings. So most people have the same genes, and the genes are like the gene for cancer can be turned on in one person, but the other person has a cancer gene, but it's turned off. That would be like in a family where one person gets cancer and the other brothers and sisters don't. They all have the cancer gene, but it's turned off, and it's just turned on in the one that got the cancer. And it's the same with this God gene. We all have the God gene. It's just turned on in some of us and turned off in others, but it doesn't mean that everyone can't have that gene turned on.
Mm-hmm.
And the work that I do is I show people how our emotions, thoughts, and belief systems turn our genes on and off. And how by changing our emotions, thoughts, and belief systems, we can control our genetic heritage.
Now, how did you, this is Pauline, how did you come to wanting to be involved in the study of this? I understand that you were an educator at one time.
Yes, it's been a journey rather than like an instant awakening. I was a school teacher, taught kindergarten for years, had children, raised my children, and in the life process, things worked in my life and things didn't work in my life, according both health and emotional issues. And I really was always looking for a different way. Please show me a way how I could have some control over what was taking place in my world, some control over my health, or some control over relationships. And basically, life just kind of leads you down the path you're going to be on and sends you wake-up calls. And many different things happened to me, but one of the clearest wake-up calls is when my body started not working for me about the age of 30. And I ended up hemorrhaging on a Thanksgiving day and ended up in the Fresno City Hospital. And by the time they got in, I'd lost so much blood, they decided that what I would need was a full hysterectomy and to stop the bleeding. But they didn't do the hysterectomy. They just took out my right ovary and then asked for me to come back and schedule in my own hometown the surgery. Well, I was 30 years old. I was terrified. I didn't understand what was happening. My family came from a medical background. My father's a doctor. His father's a doctor. His father was a doctor. My aunts were all, and grandmothers were nurses. So I didn't know at that time that there was any other options, but I was so afraid of not wanting to have the hysterectomy that I looked elsewhere, and that was 27 years ago. I turned to acupuncture and herbology, and it changed everything. It healed my uterus. I no longer needed the surgery, and I was well. And it was my first wake-up call that we do have some control and direction over our own lives and bodies. The next thing that happened was my husband, Steve, and I will be married 36 years this year, but we had difficulty in our marriage. When our children turned teens, we had difficulty in our relationships with them also. And I needed a new way to not lose the relationships that were so dear to me. And it was about that time I started to realize that how I looked at things and how I saw things could change a situation. So like with my children, I was playing a role of mother, what I thought a mother should be, the role my mother taught me how to be, the role that her mother had taught her how to be. And that was to kind of really watch over your children, make sure they didn't do drugs, they were with the right crowd, that they used polite words, and so on. But it wasn't working. The children were rebelling. And so I changed how I looked at that, and I decided that I needed to let them have more responsibility in their life. I needed not to play the role of mother. I needed to play the role of a nurturer and support person. And so I changed from the dominating mother to the nurturing, supportive mother, and our relationships shifted on the spot. So that was my first inclination that actually our belief systems, how we think things should be, when we change that belief, we can change our world. So I taught seminars for about 10 years on how to change belief systems, and they were wonderful seminars. But what would happen is I soon realized that awareness alone often didn't change a person's belief, that even though they knew what the belief was, even though they knew the pattern that was being repeated over and over again, perhaps a pattern of abuse, and they would come from an abusive family, they would marry into another abusive marriage, they would divorce, then they would marry again into another abusive marriage, and they knew the pattern well, but they would keep repeating it. So I knew there was a missing link. I knew there was more. And it wasn't until they started really the mapping of the genes that then I realized that the memory of these belief patterns were handed down in our genes, in our DNA. And that's when I started creating techniques. I already had created techniques on how you find a belief. Now I created techniques on how to remove the emotional energetic beliefs from the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I got started. It would be, first of all, I wanted to heal myself, and then I wanted to help others. So, like my brother, he had five children. He was unemployed. He was divorced. He was on welfare. And I knew his world could be different, and it hurt me to see him, how he was. So I created a technique for him.
And now, Margaret, in the past 10 years or so, there's been a lot of information coming out about DNA, a lot of scientific research, a lot of, you know, mapping of the genome, a lot of information showing up about how, you know, changes are occurring in our world that, you know, are impacting what we know about DNA and how much it impacts us. How is some of that stuff playing into what you've been learning and researching and developing on your own?
Well, it's just wonderful when, as science discovers more, because our country and the Western world follow science. So when science documents things like we found a God gene, then the masses can understand it and embrace it. So one of the studies that was just a wonderful study is when they mapped the genes, up until the point of the mapping of the genes, DNA was a fixed code. That means it was not a flexible code. It meant, which, as you said earlier in the program, what you were born with, you died with. They found that was not true. And the HeartMath Institute in Boulder Creek, California, did a study on DNA to show this, where they took a group of people and took a DNA sample. Then they gave their sample to a group of scientists who could monitor the DNA and watch the code of the DNA as it changed. And they were in a different room than the people that had given the DNA sample. So in the room where the people were sitting, they showed them movies that created emotions, like movies that made them feel angry, or movies that made them cry, or movies that made them feel great joy. And what they discovered was every time that the person watching the movie clip changed their emotion, the sequencing in their DNA changed its sequencing on the spot. Hmm. And that was the first study done in really showing how our emotions affect our DNA. So when studies like this come out in science, it just makes it so much easier for the mainstream to understand that we do have a direction over our lives, that we can change our thoughts and belief systems and how we see things, and it will change our physical body, and it will change also the emotional world that we live within.
Isn't there also something we believed for a long time that there was a two-strand DNA now? Is there some new research that there's and certain amount of codons and things? Isn't there new research that's expanded from what we originally thought?
Well, the research that I'm familiar with is basically that we are a chemical two-strand DNA. That's the basis of our physical DNA. But when the amino acids that are within the DNA ladder, like A, T, C, and G, those four amino acids, and I'm talking about those four because those are the four amino acids that create proteins, which are the building blocks for life. Well, science discovered that those four amino acids group together in groups of three, like it'd be ATT or GCC, groups of three. And the four letters make 64 different combinations, and they call those combinations codons. Now, we have 64 codons, but science says that we only are using 20 of the 64 codons, and these are like computer chip programs that are available to us. Well, they have had a research now, scientific research, where they have found 24 codons turned on first, mainly in children. Hmm. And the first study came out of UCLA Medical Center, and a young boy who was born HIV positive all of a sudden was no longer HIV positive. And when they looked at his blood, they found he had 24 codons turned on. And one of the programs that had turned on within his physical body was an immunity to all diseases. So he was not only immune to AIDS, he was immune to cancer and every other disease they exposed his cells to. Trumbull Melchizedek does a lot of the following of these studies, and he recently came out and said they have now found 20 million children who have access to 24 codons, and they're starting to see them now in adults. So our DNA, how I see it, we're still a two-strand chemical DNA, but the DNA is evolving into a higher form and into a higher consciousness.
Hmm. Now, through your work, there's a process called DNA activation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Again, being we're a two-strand chemical DNA, we are also energy. Western world teaches us that we need food, water, and air to survive, and they forgot to add the fourth ingredient, which is energy. All of our bodies are made up of food. We need food, water, and air, and energy to survive. And we are energetic beings as well as water-based and physical beings. So within every system of our body is an energy field or an energy pattern. Laying within the two-strand chemical DNA is an energetic pattern of 10 energetic strands. These 10 energetic strands, up until about 1999, were turned off in most people throughout the world. We are now moving into a time what I call the golden age. It's a time where we are going to have health and wealth and a spiritually based world. But in order for that to happen, we have to evolve our consciousness. And these 10 energetic strands are being turned on now. They're awakening. They're the strands that reawaken our co-creation, our power that we know that we are part of God, not separate from God, and that our energy directs the creation of the world, like our thoughts and belief systems create our reality. And those strands turn on, then we start to manifest and create our world in a direction that we want. Also, part of that turning on of these energetic strands is they create a communication system within the cellular system that lets cells talk to cells at a much quicker rate, so that a healthy cell can give the correct signal to the cells that are not functioning, and they can reprogram themselves very quickly and return to health. So in 1999, on the eve of the Grand Cross, which was a solar eclipse and when the planets made in the heavens a formation of the Grand Cross, which in the energy world was seen as the dawning of the Golden Age, I was given an activation from the dolphins on how our DNA evolves. And what the dolphins had shown me is that they actually are the keepers on this planet. They're ancient beings from the planet called Cirrus. And they hold the record and the blueprints of the perfect energetic DNA strands. And their love for us as human beings, they're sending signals to us to help us evolve our DNA. And they gave me an activation to help people open their hearts and open their energy field to connect to those 10 strands. When those strands become activated, your clairaudience, your clairsentience, your clairvoyance all start to awake and go to another level. And this is pretty much universal. Now, to make this a little more mainstream so people can understand that it's really it is something that's taking place, is I was giving a free lecture in Oakland about 2 months ago, and there was a family from the island of Grenada that came to the lecture, and the entire family came with their children, their uncles and aunts, and the reason they had come is that their aunt had bought one of our DNA activation CDs. And she had taken it to their family reunion and played the CD for the entire family that summer. And what happened is they all felt that their life started to become easier. They were able to create the things in their world that they weren't able to create before. But the aunt told me that one of the relatives that got his DNA activated was number 51 on the Minnesota Vikings, and he noticed when his DNA was activated he played better, and that now the Minnesota Vikings are using the DNA activation CD before they go out and play their game.
Wow.
So it's very difficult for some people, you know, at first to think, oh, this is just woo-woo, this is too weird. But first you have to go to open your mind that you're more than just a physical body. You're an energy body. And what we're awakening now is our energetic system that connects us to our higher knowing and our higher self.
And the ability to awaken these facets within us, are we're more able to do that today than we were previously? I mean, things are changing around us in the world that are supporting these changes inside of us?
Yes, exactly. It's not like we're so slow and didn't get it. Actually, the energy on the earth has changed that has created a vibrational field that we can evolve and use these finer frequencies that we couldn't connect to before. And a lot of this is documented through NASA, that the vibration of our earth, which they measure in hertz, used to be 7.2 for many years. This July, they measured it at 12 hertz. So the vibration of the planet is going up.
Wow.
Also, the magnetic fields are dropping. Our magnetics of the planet have been measured in Gauss, which was 4.0 Gauss. And this August, it was measured at 0.04 Gauss, which means we're almost at zero magnetics. So the magnetics hold the old belief systems together. They lock it in. And so when the magnetics drop and the vibration rises, we are able to let go of our fixed ideas on how we see things and how we think things should be. And we're starting to evolve. Now, I would say about 1% of the population in the world is working at this level. But the great news is David Hawkins did a study where he showed that if you raise your vibration to a vibration of love, to a vibration of heart-based, that vibration changes the vibration in 750,000 other people. So basically, where I think we need to go as a nation and as a world is to work on ourselves, heal ourselves, raise our own vibration, and that's how we're going to change the planet and make a difference.
Wow. With the magnetics, you know, there's a lot of people that sell magnets, and I was just curious if you have any information on this as far as, you know, if we are affected by these energies, and we know that some of these energies can be healing energies, how are humans adapting to this, what I believe is sort of a rapid change in those energies on our planet? How's that affecting us either positively or negatively?
Well, how it's affecting us negatively is it is a rapid shift that's taking place. It's harder to stay grounded and centered in your old ways, in your old beliefs, but also just within yourself. It feels like time is speeding up. It feels like things are slipping out sometimes from under us, and it's hard to get the firm hold that we're so used to having, because we're transcending time a bit with this rise of vibration and the drop in magnetics. But the great news is there are a lot of products out there from magnets that are helping people that are feeling off-center to feel more grounded as this transition takes place. And people that are more energy sensitive, who have started to awaken the energetic systems within their body, they're very attuned to these shifts. Now, people that haven't aren't so attuned to the shifts, and they're still able to hold their firm ground. But it's going to keep increasing, and I think there'll be a shift in the whole world as the Earth keeps changing its vibration.
Well, do you think some of the psychological stresses that we see in individuals more so now are part of this shift?
Yes, I do, because it's harder now to keep everything like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the 1950s, 1960s, it was a pretty set world.
Mm-hmm.
That's when my world was working for me. It was like the American dream. I wasn't taught about alternative choices or an energy world. And I could follow the mainstream and the rules and regulations that mainstream has set and fit in and conform, and my world worked. But it was in about 1989 that my world started to really fall apart. Our home was in Santa Cruz, California, on the epicenter of the 1989 earthquake, and in 17 seconds, we lost everything we owned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a major tearing down of foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I, we were just lost. And that's another, was a great big catapult that got me into the work we're doing now. I needed a huge wake-up call to move out of the foundational world and into the world of expansion and alternative choices. But I needed my foundation completely shaken to wake me up.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening now is that people can't go back into that foundation as easily as they could because the energies are not as strong anymore to hold you there. And so a lot of the psychological disturbances, a depression, a huge, a massive, raging depression, there is actually much more lupus, chronic fatigue now in the world. People are starting to get tired. Their bodies are fighting the change so that it's taking their energy to fight the evolution, and they're getting ill because they're weakening their system. So this is what I do see. I almost see it as starting to be an epidemic.
Now, is there a reason or is there something they can do as far as, you know, maybe they're fighting it because they're not ready to change, but is there anything, like I keep going to this magnet thing because I had heard recently, you know, it works really well with people with autism and all sorts of other conditions, and I started wondering, well, if the magnetics of the planet is changing, is it actually to our detriment to bring those old energies back in, or is this just going to help people make that transition to where it is today?
I don't think there's any detriment to anything. I think if it makes you feel better and you can feel more centered so you can be clearer, then you should use it. The reason magnets work for the autistic children is because they're not in their body. This world is too slow for them. They're thinking much quicker than we think. And so they leave their dense body to stay with the quickness of the energy they're used to. The magnetics help pull them back down into their body, and which slows the vibration down a bit so that they can incorporate their higher frequency with the frequency that they need to live in. Because it doesn't serve any of us to live just in the higher vibrations or up in the clouds or, say, in the heavens. What we have to do is use that energy and be able to work with it here in this world. And it was on November 8th of last year that again in the sky, the planets made the alignment of the Star of David, which was a signal that we are now moving into where we can incorporate the heaven energies and pull their great knowledge and have heaven on earth. So I don't think there's any right or wrong with anything. You just have to go into yourself and say, "This is, I feel better with this. I feel more clear or grounded, and therefore I'm going to use this device."
A couple of days after this election now, when so many of us may be, you know, down about the prospects of what's happening in the world, I think it's great to talk about this from a, you know, a broader perspective, because, you know, we have been sensing changes. We have been sensing changes here and within our own country of a number of people beginning to, you know, wake up and speak out, and more people having a say. People around the planet, you know, we're more connected through the internet, and we're hearing and understanding what the perspective is with our fellow man around the world. And I think it's important for us to talk about these shifts that we are sensing, that we are measuring. We talked earlier about frequency, vibration increasing, and magnetism decreasing, and that we can look to some of those things that are actually, you know, scientifically measurable to realize that, you know, there is a change happening. We didn't just get knocked down back to, you know, zero a couple of days ago, that we do need to stay on course with what our intentions are for ourselves and for the world. And with speaking about what we are today, about that there's so much more going on within us, within our own structure. How can we begin to let people know, you know, what they can do to tap into that even more?
Well, I call it just a simple thing that the listeners can do right away. It's something I call, you know, following your path of the heart. And the path of the heart is to make decisions and do things that make you feel more alive. So if you're in a relationship at work or with someone and you feel less than or more dead or put down in their presence, it makes you lower your energy field. It takes your vibration down. And if it doesn't feel good, I say change the situation and make all your decisions of where you want to be, what you want to do, and what really excites you, what creates passion, what creates joy, which creates excitement, and make that choice. So say you were interviewing for a job and there was two choices, and one you really were excited about, passionate about, but the other one paid more money. Take the job that makes you feel more excited and more passionate because it's on your path, and the door will open that will give you the economics that you need. But we move into the old fear base of the facts, what was, well, this job pays more money, therefore I should take it. And we ignore that it's our passion, our joy, and aliveness that is going to start creating the world that we want. Mm. And pretty much politics are based on fear. Mm. And that's what where people shift their votes and base their ideas on scarcity thinking. Because if you can get people to believe there's not enough love, there's not enough time, right, there's not enough money, and then you can pretty much sway them to whichever way you want them to go. And that's where we need to stop following like a bunch of lemmings. We need to say, does this make me feel alive? Does this feel really good? And if it does, choose the path of the heart, and you'll be able to change your world and the world around you very quickly if you stay to that theory.
And it also spurs creativity. I think that what the whole thing about fear of we're going to run out of oil, I've been saying for the past few years, we should run out of oil, run all of it, because then the energy that's needed to create something alternative will then start to happen, you know, so we...
Absolutely. When a door closes, another one opens.
Exactly.
And we're not taught that. As children, we're taught to... And a lot of this is programming in our genes to tie this back into DNA. Mm-hmm. It's programmed in our DNA because they're belief systems of our ancestry that there's not enough.
Yeah.
And that belief system is the belief system we need to take out.
Mm-hmm.
We're trained to believe that we have to struggle, that it's so difficult, that there's such scarcity. Which leads me right back to, you were talking earlier about certain genes being turned on and off within us. You're doing a free talk tonight on the abundance gene, are you not?
Yes, I am.
I want to ask you specifically about that. What does that mean for us, vis-a-vis this notion we were just talking about scarcity? And tell us about your talk.
Well, tonight in Palo Alto at the Cabana Crown Plaza at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be doing a free abundance gene activation. Now, everyone has an abundance gene, but most of the world is working on their scarcity gene. That's a gene that says there's not enough time, money, or love for me. We need to turn that gene off and turn our abundance gene on. Once your abundance gene turns on, what I mean by turning on is there's a light that lives within the DNA, and it's called the photon light, and it's like a giant lighthouse. It's a signal. So we are like magnets ourselves, like attracts like. So if your scarcity gene is the gene that's turned on, it's constantly sending a signal out to the world, there's not enough for me. And that's what shows up in your world, always not enough. By turning that gene on and turning the abundance gene on that says there's plenty, that the universe is abundant, when you start to send that signal out to the world, then doorways of opportunities that you never saw before start to show up in your world. And it's time now that we turn this abundance gene on and turn the scarcity gene off. So the lecture tonight is I talk about DNA. I do the activation. It's a 20-minute activation to turn the gene back on. And then I do some demonstrations, some healing demonstrations to show you how to remove the limiting belief patterns that have been handed down lineage after lineage in your ancestry from your DNA so that you can access the abundance gene.
I think we all can use some of that. I know. I've got some stuff in there that was given to me by certain relatives that are not showing up terribly well in my life that I would like to remove.
Yes, we all do. We have loyalty genes, which cause us to stay in situations way too long. And all that affects the abundance gene. But the captain of the gene team is the God gene. It directs all the other genes. And once the God gene is functioning, then we start to work in oneness, co-creation, and connectedness with all beings. And this is where we all need to move, and we have the ability to do this ourselves. By changing your belief system and your emotion, you can turn the genes on you want and turn the genes off that aren't serving you.
Tremendously impactful.
What's your website so people can find you?
Our website www.possibilitiesdna.com, and we have an 800 number that you can call. It's 888-711-9962. And if you're interested in coming to the talk tonight, give that number a call and just say you're coming, or check us out at our website. Again, that's possibilitiesdna.com.
And once again, the talk tonight is where?
7 o'clock at the Crown Plaza in Palo Alto. That's just right down from Stanford on El Camino.
Well, Margaret, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, it was just a delight to be here, and thank you for the work and the light and love that you put out to the world.
Well, thank you for all of yours. We will hopefully talk with you soon.
All right. Thank you,
Margaret.
All righty. Bye.
That was fascinating.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
There's so much more going on inside of us than we know.
Well, and also the talk about the magnets. One of my coworkers that I've worked with in the past gives light. And he was talking about, we were talking about the use of magnets for injuries and that. And he said, apparently, the vibration for the magnets is a little less than it used to be. So I forget what he said they're using now instead of magnets.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I have a magnet on my wrist right now because I'm having a bit of a problem. We'll see how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But it is pretty interesting. I have a client that has a magnetic bed for their son who has autism, and they really like it. Some people it's too strong for, and so it's sounding to me like maybe that's because they don't really need it. You know, they don't need that much energy coming at them. But for certain people that are, you know, ill or imbalanced in some way, I've heard very good things about them.
Mm-hmm.
Has your client said how their son actually responds?
You know, I didn't hear specifics of what is working and what's not, but they say that they really like to use it. It seems to be getting them positive benefit. But I don't know exactly what manner, but they continue to use it because they really like it.
I still didn't quite understand, Mark. Does she use the guided imagery? Is it through when you meet with her, or do you have a specific, you go and you have a session with her, and there's CDs and things that you use?
Some of the things are on CD. Some of the guided processes are on CD. So you'll listen to it, and you'll connect in with the music and the vibration of the music, and her voice guiding you through a internal meditation, internal process of setting your intention for the activation, and then guiding you through the specific, you know, components and the particular aspect of the visualization of the activation process.
Mm.
You know, so much of what we do is affected by the intention that we set.
Yes.
And we didn't get a chance to speak about it, but I'm sure we'll talk about this work at some point, the work of Dr. Emoto in Japan, who's been doing some fascinating work regarding the messages in water. And he has been demonstrating scientifically how our intention, or the energy, the vibration of intention affects the actual structure of water, as measured in the crystals of water through this process that Dr. Emoto has been creating to, you know, photograph these crystals the moment they freeze. In a nutshell, what we're doing there is we're taking this notion that we're learning so much about mind and body and how much our thoughts and our emotions impact what's happening, you know, chemically in our bodies. We're now also really getting that our intention is affecting conditions and matter outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing that back to, again, how powerful intention is to affect things outside of us and, of course, within us, that this is why processes like, you know, guided visualizations, using hypnosis, mm-hmm. using meditation and mm-hmm. self-hypnosis are so powerful because we're directing our intention inside of us to affect deep internal change.
Mm-hmm.
And much can shift with our belief systems, and much can shift specifically with respect to what's happening in our body. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can. There was a huge whole Newsweek article out, right, about the whole magazine a couple of weeks ago about the science of mind and body.
Mm-hmm.
Studies in there about how people are using these techniques to impact the, you know, the growth of cancerous tumors by directing our energy, by directing our intention internally
mm-hmm.
to affecting those places, and the body responds. So there's so much more that we're learning about how our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions impact what's happening in our body and in the world around us for us to learn. And it's a, you know, it's one of those areas where depending on where you're coming in initially, it could be a little bit woo-woo,
mm-hmm.
right? Oh, yeah. But we do have to realize that there are a lot of forces out there that support it being woo-woo and support us not wanting to believe it
mm-hmm.
because, you know, rather you should be buying your pharmaceuticals from the companies that, you know, will fix you and make you feel better, you know, rather than empowering yourself. So
right.
once we realize that we're being affected by all these things, it can kind of bring us back to a neutral point of going, okay, what's really going on and what's really possible?
Mm-hmm.
And what can I do to engage those possibilities for myself?
Yeah.
It was kind of a long-winded explanation.
Well, no, it's true because, you know, we're going back to how the day after the election, there was definitely a different vibration in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely agree with you on the rainy thing. I thought, oh, yeah, that's definitely.
And the morning of, you know, the apartment where I'm at is right at Franklin and McAllister. And you can tell on holidays, before the day of the three-day holiday, the energy sort of changes. You can tell the morning of the holiday, if it's kind of where half people are working, half people are not. There, you wake up around 4 o'clock realizing that it's unusually quiet mm-hmm. or energetically. It's just totally different when there is a holiday and people are actually more people are taking it off than none, like stores closed and everything. But that morning, it was as though there was lack of life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, lack of desire to want to go out and continue.
Definitely.
And it was that way the whole day. And
yeah.
You'd go into a restaurant and people who were normally vibrant were not as vibrant as they normally were. It's just
mm-hmm.
kind of,
mm-hmm.
okay, what are we doing? What
yeah.
are we doing?
How do we survive this day?
Yeah.
Get to the next one.
Yeah.
And that energy seemed to be encompassing everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was in the environments that you were going in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lifting a little bit today, but I think we still kind of have that.
Yeah.
Something is something has to change. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, we're feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
We've been kicked. We're down. You know, we shouldn't deny
right.
how we're feeling, that it sucks and, you know, whatever else we want to say about it.
But you want to also people to know, just because our candidate, we were talking again about this, because our candidate or your candidate or whosoever candidates didn't win, in particular the major part of this was the presidency, don't give up not voting.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
our First Amendment rights are at challenge. The whole constitutional amendment process at this point could be challenged because those that feel that we have too many freedoms, quote-unquote frivolous lawsuits against medical firms or whatever, they don't want this for the average person. Our only power is in our rights
mm-hmm.
to vote and do these things and vote people in and vote people out.
Well, and they don't talk about the solutions that might work. So for the law thing and the frivolous lawsuits, I definitely agree with that. I think it's really putting a lot of people out, a lot of doctors out of business because it's just, it's not economical to be in the business. You know, it's not worth the risk that they have to take. But then I found out that the United States, and I think only one other country, are the only places in the world that you can, that lawyers will work on retainer, mm-hmm. and that they'll take a large percentage of the winnings, so they are looking for the biggest cash windfall they can get. But in other countries, sometimes you have to actually put up the money for the settlement up front beforehand, right, and it goes to the defendant if you lose. Or there's lots of other, or you have to pay cash for the lawyer, so you have to have the money to do it, and they're not looking for that huge cash payback later. Right. So, you know, again, it's more that the system is broken and not saying, you know, we always try to make it black and white. Well, if you don't want the frivolous lawsuits, you need to give up your right to sue. Well, no. You know, there are other ways to do it, but I think,
And it's, again, it's the, you know, the old adage is it takes just one bad apple to ruin the bunch for everybody. And with these lawsuits and all the things that that our, quote, administrations are trying to change to not burden the judicial system is all because there are few individuals that require the masses to do what it takes to get what they deserve, because there are quite a few, there are a few doctors, lawyers, companies out there that are would really deceive you about products and things, and the lawsuits then start to fly.
If you didn't get your outcome 2 days ago with respect to this election, my message is just to remind us all that the reasons that we were so outraged, the reasons why we took so much action to move and support what we believed in, are all still there.
Right.
None of that's changed.
Right.
And we just need to find additional ways to affect change.
Exactly.
Right now, we need
nonviolent
ways to affect change, and to stay on track with what we believe and where we believe the world should go and how we want to interact. And bringing it back to what Margaret was saying, we can raise our frequency.
Right.
You know, to a higher vibration, to a vibration of love and inclusiveness and knowing the interconnectedness of all of us, and that will impact others. Just how when we felt yesterday, when each of us was bummed out, we all felt that.
Right.
So, you know, let's focus on snapping back and staying on track.
Right. And the laws and the policies are still in place, whether George Bush is there or whether Kerry's there. We obviously know the obvious benefits to not having Bush there. But the fact is we have what we have, but there's still a lot of things that are broken that would still have been broken with Kerry. We still need, no matter who the president is, we still need to get to what those underlying ideas, philosophies, policies are and change them. You know, Kerry still believed in fighting the war, going out and hunting and, quote, killing the terrorists. Yeah. Mm. And, you know, all of those types of things, the Patriot Act and all that. So all that stuff still exists and would still exist. This is a just a longer term fight that we have now to change some of these policies at the root level. And so definitely don't give up hope. And we will see you next week. This is Julie Matthews. I'm a certified nutrition consultant. My number, 415-437-6807. And my website, healthfullivingsf.com.
And I'm Pauline Harrell, certified massage therapist. My number is 415-970-0009. Martin.
I'm Martin Matthews. I'm a certified medical hypnotherapist. And you can catch me at 415-235-2960.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.